I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, a new podcast from Wondery.
From Adele to Victoria Beckham and Lily Allen, we take you inside the drama-filled lives of our most talked-about celebrities to find out what it's like to walk in their shoes.
She means their beautiful Prada shoes.
Listen to Terribly Famous wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about. I'm Yeo Bravs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you, sweet man?
I'm doing phenomenally, thank you.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Real Housewives of Atlanta. We took a couple weeks off for a mental health break, okay? Because they were promoting it. They were promoting it a lot on this show. So we
That's took exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
I just pretended my sister worked for Amen for a while and took a break. And I'm ready to go.
Wait, she doesn't?
I'm ready to
go. Oh, yeah.
So we're back. Every other Monday, we're doing a live an Instagram Live. You guys know what that is. We're trying out different things. So join us next Monday, August 21st, I guess. That would be the 21st.
Your birthday
like
week.
Yeah, party. And join us at 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time for Instagram Live. It's like our old show, Take a Seat, but now it's called Crappy Hour. Okay? It's going to be super, super fun. It was this past time, so thanks for everybody who came. Also, we've done a few Project Runways. That's what we did instead of this, so check those out. We've got bonus episodes. This week's bonus is a shot-by-shot breakdown of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City trailer.
That was good.
If anybody needs some insanity in their housewives, that's where to find that. And today, really, what we're here to do is recap this episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, back in the ATL to check in. Let's see what's, you know what, we're back in Atlanta. Let's see what's going on in the crazy world of Kenya Moore. Maybe she's up to something hilarious or interesting, or she's starting trouble somewhere because she's a villain. So she's going to start a feud, get a storyline going. Let's see what she's doing. She's playing doing karate with Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, and I still have to say, I'm still rooting for Brooklyn. I'm like, kick her ass, Brooklyn, take her down. And then we go over to Marlo, who's still faking this thing with the guy from Chopped, Scott Lee. And he's saying he's at his restaurant, which I think he's the manager of, but I guess you can call it your restaurant. I guess when I go to the gas station, I'm like, hey, I'm at my gas station, because it's my neighborhood gas station. I don't own the gas station. I don't know if that makes me a liar or not.
Dare to dream.
Marlo says, I miss your lamb chops. So you can tell these two have grown really close, because that's still what she knows about him.
Well, it's unclear if she's. Chops. Well, it's unclear if she's referring to actual meat lamb chops just like he had sideburns that were really bushy.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a sexual thing. I was going to say no. Marlo's very virginal now.
Or I was just going to go mention Shari. What's her face?
Yeah.
What was her name? Shari.
Shari, the puppeteer with Lamb Chop, who Shari. Had her fist up somebody's butt. Do you want to talk about fisting again today? I know that's been on your mind.
Shari Lewis. The one who brought fisting to the children, Shari Lewis.
So then we go over to Candy brushing Blaze's teeth, and Blaze hilariously swallows the toothpaste, which leads me to a question. I saw this gum. Okay, so yes. I've been chewing gum lately. I'm a very addicted person. I'm no longer snorting cocaine, which has really sucked. Miss you, cocaine. It's been a while. I mean, that's not like anything new. Cigarettes, quit that. Vaping, quit vaping. I'm not eating much because I'm trying to lose. Like, I'm quitting everything, so I decided to chew gum. That's like, it's either that or like sexual addiction, and let's be honest, I'm too lazy for that. So I started chewing gum again, and they have this kind of gum that's called tooth whitening gum. That cannot be healthy, right?
Well, why wouldn't? I mean, I don't think it's an issue of health
or bleach. Doesn't that bleach your liver or whatever your gastrointestinal system?
You know, I have to hope I have to hope and pray that it is not poisonous. But I guess we'll, you know, I would consult your dentist. Or, you know what? I'm going to my dentist.
He's going to charge me $300 to consult me for anything and then pretend I have a cavity when I don't. Fuck that guy. No, I don't,
you know,
trust,
I'm going to my
I don't
dentist.
Trust anybody.
I'm going to my dentist this Thursday. I will ask
him. Are you dating your dentist? You're literally always at your dentist.
No, it's because I swear to God, I have like a microfracture. And like he keeps on saying, it's just I've got high points. And so therefore, like if like a seed gets in between the high points and then like... And then, like, the teeth, it creates a wedge. That's what I'm feeling. But I don't think it's just high points.
You have a wedge because issue. It's like a presidential election in your mouth.
You know, I I'm not saying I know dentistry more than my dentist. But what I'm saying is, whatever he has diagnosed, this is not working. So I'm going back to fix the problem.
I feel like your dentist is the guy at Pep Boys who you go in for an oil change. They're like, your brakes are out. You need 50 things done to your car. And you're like, okay.
Dentists do have a reputation for that.
What?
Dentists do have a reputation for that. And there used to be a hygienist at the dentist's office who used to always upsell me on stuff. And it was so annoying. And one time she actually, well, this is full circle. So one time she was like, you should really be using this toothpaste. You know, this will just be so much stronger for your teeth. It's like, you know what? I'll get it. And it was this like high fluoride toothpaste. And fluoride, you can't actually swallow it. That's actually poison. And I had to be really careful when I used this toothpaste. I was like, you know what? Fuck this toothpaste. Fuck this upsell. I hate this. So full circle to your poison in the mouth oral care issue is that I've gone down that path before.
Yeah, they can't overcharge me for stuff. One thing I think that helped is just that I'm old now and I don't give a fuck and I have a very angry face. I just give them my Kathy Bates from Misery face whenever I go in there. If they're like, Ronnie, you know, you have a cavity. I'm like, when's the next chapter? Like, I give them that face and they just stop asking me for things. They just want me out of there. Like, I look like I will take an axe to their legs. And people stop trying to fucking rob me. They even stop trying to fix me. Sometimes they'll send me out of there with the cavity just because they're scared of me.
Let me tell you something. I feel like they don't like me at my dentist office because I gag. I have a gag reflex. And like that's the most annoying thing ever for dentists.
Well, I'm glad you're not dating one. Okay, so Blades brushes her teeth. It's great. So then Drew and her sister and their assistants or her assistants are in this big rental house. And Drew's like, oh, my God, this property gives whoosah. Yeah, because it's free and somebody's donating it to you and you don't have to pay the bills. Okay. And Ralph's not there at the moment. I feel like any building Drew walks into without Ralph there feels like whoosah. This feels like a whoosah moment because Ralph hasn't rigged it with secret cameras yet to tape you with footage that he's going to use against you later. Okay.
I feel like Drew may not also know what woosah means. She may be confusing woosah with whosah. Like, who saw me in Step Up? Because I was pretty good in that. Anyone? No. So she is there because this is where she's going to be having her mental health getaway. And there's a guy named Denon Smith who's like, can you please tell me about this mental health getaway? I'm very fascinated about this. And then, by the way, we never see him again. And Allison, the sister.
Who let the Airbnb guy on the show, by the way? I know. What the fuck do you care? He's like, we can only have 6 guests. Get the fuck out of here, okay? You're not. Yeah. We're renting it from you. We're not renting you. Leave.
So Allison's like, well, you know, it's so important to be ahead of brain health so you don't wind up in a psychiatric ward like me. And
Allison, do you literally need to cry again during this? Stop crying. Stop it now. At some point, somebody needs to say, Allison, stop. Just stop it.
So there was a rumor on the internet, and this is a rumor. I don't know if there's anything that is substantiated. I think... Can I say this rumor? Because this is my favorite rumor.
Yes, but hold on. I just have to apologize to Allison. I'm sorry, Allison. I know there's mental health things going on.
I'm like...
I know that was terrible, but seriously. Okay, go ahead. No, I shouldn't have to, but seriously. Just I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I get frustrated. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
No, because you know what it is? Because her pain is triggering your pain. Hurt people, I guess. Hurt people.
I mean, I guess, but mental health, I've learned getaway. To bunch it up and keep it inside and start worrying about, you know, whitening teeth gum or cocaine or whatever, you know, like that's my cope. You cope your way, I'll cope my way. Okay. I apologize for bitching at you about how you're coping. You go ahead and cry in that Airbnb all you need to. Go
ahead. And now, Allison, I apologize in advance because I'm about to, I'm about to speak about a rumor that we both heard about.
Get her,
but it's a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but I just love it. As like, you know, some rumors you're like, ah, oh, that's a stupid rumor. But some rumors you're like, ugh, oh, I love this rumor. Because like, I don't know if it's true. Probably not true. But I do love it.
Justin Bieber is a lizard person. I love that rumor.
Justin Bieber is a lizard person. We can verify. As you heard in the New York recap, we saw him in Tribeca, and we can verify like 97% lizard. The rumor that we've heard is that like, or I guess it's not a rumor, it's conspiracy theory. This is actually better. It's a conspiracy theory. Some people have a conspiracy theory that Allison is actually Drew's mother. Because the math about like Allison working on a man, et cetera, it just doesn't like add up or whatever. I haven't actually done the math. I did all my math for the week yesterday when we did Aaron and
Gwyneth Paltrow. In New York, yes.
That I can't do. Amen math is going to be hard for me right now. But I love that theory that Allison is secretly Drew's mother. That would make so much sense and so fascinating. That's like the kind of thing that Atlanta could really use.
Well, that's my, I have that in my family. I have that kind of setup in my family. My cousin, my aunt Brenda had a son, but was unable to take care of her son at the time. And the story goes, she left that son on our doorstep. We were born like 2 weeks apart, which is also fascinating, right? Like you get pregnant the same time as your sister. I think there was like some competitive shit going on. And then she was like, you take him. And then my mom couldn't. So my meemaw raised my cousin Matt. So he was my cousin, but he was also whatever. You know what I mean? Interesting, I guess, but not that crazy to me because I'm just used to it.
No, it's not crazy. It's just like I just think it'd be an interesting twist. Also, it wouldn't be the first time that we have heard about this happening on Bravo this year, because let's not forget it's the traumatic backstory of Rachel Levis.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's true. Except that was raised by, she was not raised by her grandmother. She was raised by her aunt, right?
I think
the sister was trying to. I don't know. You know what? My dream of like my life turning into a movie was always that somebody would die. This is, by the way, how horrible I am. I'm like, I hope someone dies and leaves me their baby. Like, that's terrible. Like, someone that I love.
You basically just want to have like reboot that old show, Kevin Hill, and just like have it be about you.
Yes, like, I wanted that to be like my sitcom life. It's like, where they're dead, and now I've got this family. It's like, oh my God, Ronnie's a dad now. What's going to happen?
And also, Joan from Mad Men is there.
I always kind of wanted to raise kids, but I didn't want to like have a relationship or pay for them or, I don't know, do any of the work that's necessary, change diapers, any of that. I wanted somebody to die, but not till the kids were like, I don't know, 7 or 8.
Just like lurk around the fire station by that box. You can probably solve a lot of problems young. That way.
Those are babies in boxes. I need like a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old.
You don't need a HelloFresh baby. You need a... You need a child that's a little bit on its way. Past potty training.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Also, Allison is there. After talking about how she no longer works for Drew, she's there wearing a Drew Sidora t-shirt, which, I don't know. Okay, so Allison's like, yeah, you know, get ahead of brain health. And Drew, which I don't think works. I don't think you can be like, oh, took my brain health today. It's better. It's proactive, not proactive, preventative. I don't think there's such a thing as preventative mental health care.
Of course there is.
Is there?
What are you talking about? Meditation.
Never worked for me.
Meditation, masturbation. I think really just the two big M's. I think
you
those
should
are
write a book because that was, like, honestly.
Aren't those the things? Meditation, masturbation, mediation, manipulation.
Mastication.
Aren't there more M words that end with Asian?
Is anybody even still here? I feel like they were just talking to nobody. Okay.
So I'm literally, can I tell you about Disneyland this weekend?
No.
I can tell you about.
Okay. So Drew's like, so you guys know that Allison was my manager my whole life. So, you know, to see her, of course, Drew immediately makes it about herself. She's like, so to see her go through something real, it was weird for me, guys, because she was always the strong one. And then that's when I began to make it about me and think about my own mental health. I was like, wow, if someone who's a big enough fan that is still wearing a Drew Sidora sweatshirt everywhere they go can have mental health problems? Maybe I could too. So this is how Allison's mental health is now about me. It's like, wow, very well done, Drew.
Yeah, there's some weird vibe between Drew and her sister. It's more about Drew. Like, I feel like Drew is subtly undermining her sister while claiming to be boosting her up. Like, on the surface, this is all like, yeah, like, I want, like, my sister went through some shit and I want to support her and, like, bring her, like, what can we learn from her and bring her message to the masses. But there's kind of like, I feel like she's like very much, I don't know, there's like a vibe of undermining. Like, you know, my sister, she never really had a life of her own. She just really only cared about me, and she cared about me so much. And then she stopped working for me, which is too bad because that's when she had her break. And, you know, like, I kind of can't help but wonder if maybe she just kept working with me and working for me. Like, she'd probably be okay. But anyway, I've learned so much from her, even though she's weaker than me. But, you know, I'm glad she's back to work for me because that's really her only option in life. Amen, obviously, is still not on the air. So anyway, love her.
It is odd to bring your sister on who's been having mental health issues as your storyline to me. And it's all what makes it weird. And everybody is like, whatever, that really happens in families. Yes, I get that. But what also happens, and we all know it happens, is when you go on reality shows, assholes like us have an opinion about everything. And listen, we're assholes. The people on the internet are a million times worse than us and have a zillion opinions. And I just don't know that it's good for your mental health to go on a reality show, especially Real Housewives shows where people are like, you're ugly.
Yeah.
Real Housewives people have no problem just being like, you're old. Get off the stage.
But that's not even your sister. It's your daughter.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, look, I do, like, as much as Drew, I mean, I think Drew is so ridiculous. I do think that I think it is good that she came on because, look, we're sitting here talking about mental health. We're at least talking about it, discussing it. It's in our mindset, you know. We're talking about, like, how we can meditate and masturbate.
I'm definitely meditating and masturbating this week, and I'm going to see and masticate. Those are going to be my three M's.
There will be masturbation.
See how it works for me.
There will definitely be masturbation. But yeah, I mean, I think I like that there's a story about mental health, but I just feel like with Drew, it is funny because it does feel very self-serving. She's like, my sister went through this journey, but I'm the one who's really having mental health issues.
Yeah, she's using it to further herself. So she says, my sister told me that her divorce is what caused her mental break, and Allison is hugging her and crying. And I wrote Jesus with the crying. And then Drew's like, and so the goal is to open up a conversation and learn because look at my marriage. Of course, it comes back to Drew's marriage.
Her marriage was 100% fine until all of a sudden she announced that it suddenly wasn't fine. Really, because Ralph was going to Vegas, because the Magic Mike producer, like the most contrived, suddenly the marriage isn't working twists. Like, nothing made sense there. Well, actually, it does make sense because their marriage was never fine, obviously.
Oh, God, their marriage is a horror show. It's a horror show. He's terrible. Like, no matter what we say about Drew, this guy is just the fucking worst, as we will see as this episode goes on. So she talks about how it's difficult in the African-American community to talk about mental health. And then we meet Dr. Gettings, which I love that name. It is spelled like getting, like you're getting something, which I love. Yeah. I mean, talk about like just being open to blessings, like that being your name, like Dr. Getting, you know?
She's like, it actually isn't better to give. It is better to receive.
Yes. And she's like, guess what clinic she's from? The Amen Clinic. You guys.
Is she?
This is like the perfect person to be on this episode. Yes. And the sister wrote for Amen. So here we go. And this is somebody from the Amen Clinic. This is
Anna Marie Hornsford. That's what we need right now.
And someone is where I think Dr. Gettings is in a full leather pantsuit in Atlanta. So trust her with your mental health, but not your sweating health, because that sounds very hot. It sounds like a very hot outfit to be wearing. Atlanta's also a very hot place.
Also, don't trust her for a fun time, because then Drew's like, okay, so we'll set up a bar. And Dr. Gettings, the first person in the history of Bravo, was like, maybe you don't have a bar. I don't think that alcohol is good for mental health, because of course Bravo loves to to throw booze at, you know, like, okay, we're gonna have a group therapy session, everyone here's some champagne. So Dr. Gettings is like, we're gonna have some options called functional drinks, as opposed to, I guess, dysfunctional drinks. I don't know. It has supplements like GABA, and that will help you relax. And if you need more GABA, just say yo. Just say, yo, GABA, GABA, you know, and we'll get some more for you.
I took umbrage with calling alcohol a non-functional drink. Why the fuck do you think people drink it? It's extremely functional. It's called therapy in a bottle, okay? It's not all of us can afford the Amen Clinic, ma'am, okay? Some of us can only afford Dr. Charles. What's too much, Chuck? Charles Schwab, not Charles Schwab.
Oh, Charles, we like, it's been rebranded as Jessel Vineyards, but...
Charles Shaw.
Charles Shaw. You know what? Listen... Alcohol is so functional, it is literally served at functions. So I think that's the proof.
And I'm high functioning when I drink it. So suck it. Okay, everybody involved in this.
I don't want GABA. I don't know what GABA is.
Fuck GABA. Yeah, I don't want to take that.
No GABA GABA.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Since his death in 2009, the world has struggled with how Michael Jackson should be remembered. As the king of pop or as a monster? I'm Leon Nafok, the host of Fiasco and the co-creator of Slow Burn.
And I'm Jay Smooth, a hip-hop journalist and cultural commentator. Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation for the first time in 1993. Our new podcast, Think Twice, Michael Jackson, is the story of what came before and what came after.
Throughout the podcast, we explore what makes Michael Jackson seemingly uncancelable. And we dig into the complicated feelings so many of us have when we hear Billie Jean at the grocery store.
Through dozens of original interviews with people who watched the story unfold firsthand, Think Twice is an attempt to reconcile our conflicted emotions about Michael Jackson, the man, with our deep-seated love of his art.
Listen to Think Twice, Michael Jackson, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge the entire series ad-free on Audible or the Amazon Music app.
Okay, so then we go to Sonia and Ross, and they were looking at close-up baby pics or something, and Sonia's like, oh, are you talking over, sorry, I can't hear you over the sounds of my new Rolex, because he bought her a new watch, I think.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my God, we have a Rolex now, this is a map, we have another Rolex, boom!
Yeah, they've got a new addition to the family, a Rolex. So Sonia,
turns out, guys, spoiler alert, her Rolex is pregnant. We're about to find out.
She's giving birth to a Rolex, and her Rolex is also pregnant. It's a teen Rolex pregnancy. So so she's like, so we have a lot to talk about and think about as like a family. And like, I feel like you were gone and like, we never really had a chance to dive into it. But I did take some notes just on things. Cause you know, why not take notes on things? You want to flip through this notebook real quickly, Ross, and see if there's anything to look at in the notebook that you might want to look at, Ross. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, this was so super like, smooth. And then there's a pregnancy test in there. And he's like, what? Is this real? She goes, it's real. Oh my God, it's real. And so she's like, you know, I'm so excited about the future because I'm pregnant. So now they go to the living room to tell the family where everyone's gathered, like, what the fuck do we have to do now? Because you know, every time Sonia asks anybody into the living room, she gives them a to-do list. I don't believe she ever is like, hey, just wanted to gather everybody to say thank you and to give you popsicles. No, it's always to ask you to do shit.
It's always, and they know what's going to happen. They know that Sonia's going to like look at the ceiling and like blink a lot and pretend to cry and be like, it's just like really hard for me right now. It's like a lot of things I have to think about right now. And I just like, it's making me cry. So they just don't want to even hear it. So they've gone into this meeting saying, okay, everyone, remember, stay strong. It's 2023. Let's just tell Sonia we're moving out and we don't want to take her shit anymore. Okay. It doesn't matter what she throws at us. We don't take her shit. Okay.
Uh-oh, she's got her prop notebook. What the fuck is in her prop notebook? What is it? And she pulls the same trick. You're going to pull the notebook trick again? You need something smoother. You had t-shirts printed up for this and you're using a notebook. Where's a beef patty? Put the fucking thing in a beef patty.
I know.
And tell somebody to taste it.
That's a delicious, delicious one. I think you know what's really upsetting to me? I just realized something. We're probably due for a gender reveal with her. It's going to be the worst.
You think that's going to be? Do people still? I thought you weren't allowed to do those anymore. I think those
awful
are on
people
their way
do
out.
them. awful people do them. And if people in our audience have done them and they're like, but I did it, I'm like, I'm so sorry. You're probably a wonderful person, but you did something that awful people do. And you just have to live with that.
One of my friends just did it. And I wasn't offended. I was just like, I don't care.
But like, like, yeah,
I literally
who cares?
Don't care.
I literally don't care about the gender of your baby. Okay.
Yeah, I'm guess what? I'm buying your baby the same thing no matter what gender they are. Nothing. Okay. I'm getting your baby the same thing they give me for my birthday. Jack shit. Okay. So get off my Instagram feed. Mute. Yeah. Mute.
Don't care about your baby.
Yeah. So they're like, oh my God. Okay. So then she has sweatshirts so printed, right? That they're wearing. Does it say, it says we're pregnant.
It says we're pregnant.
Standing out of order. Are they standing out of order?
Yeah. Well, what happens is Sonia's wearing the weir and Ross is wearing the pregnant, which it really should have. I feel like it should have been the other way around. But I think that's what it was. But so what happens is, you know, because you read from left to right in English. And so she's thinking, okay, we read from left to right. Therefore, since I'm weir, I'll be to the left of Ross. So then they turn around. But when they turn around, the sentence is in reverse. So it says pregnant weir. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Well, thankfully, they've only printed out 7 more outfits to do this for the rest of the episode. Because everywhere they show up, they're in a different outfit that says pregnant weir. I'm like, really? Are you going to get it fucking wrapped on your car, too? Like, congratulations.
But I feel bad for every employee at Starbucks who had to endure Sonia walking in and saying, could I have a latte and your name, please? We're pregnant. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So everybody, you know, freaks out, obviously, and the dad's like, bop, 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 and she's like, I have a t-shirt for that, and the mom takes a minute, yeah, but they get excited, and Sherry's like, we're still moving, so
yeah.
Congratulations on having a baby that I'm not going to be here to raise. We'll see how that's going to go for you. Okay.
Yeah, that was great. She just nipped that in the bud. She's like, yeah, this one you're doing on your own. This is your own baby. You're gonna get a nanny or a robot. Okay.
I love Sherry. She's like, we're pregnant. Sherry's like, we're looking at apartments. And the mom's like, yeah, we decided to live in the same community. And Sonny's like, oh, so you guys have already found apartments? Well, I guess this is gonna still be great, even though my family's moving out and my husband's never in town.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have alienated my family before having this baby.
Yeah, this is not going to work out great, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you kicked your family out and then you got pregnant. Think. You don't get rid of your free health care and then kick off me. What?
Yeah. Well, it's okay. Maybe she recruits some people from Mommy Nation. Maybe that'll help. So now
village.
We could. It takes. Actually, iVillage, isn't that what she was doing her video for? I don't remember. So now we go over to some sort of Dave and Buster's type place where Drew and Ralph are, they're on date night and they are there. They have Gail Simmons as their waitress, which was really cool. And they're all excited because it's date night. And Drew tells us, date night is very needed. Ralph and I have not been keeping up with our weekly date nights that Dr. Ken suggested. And I just want to make sure that all the things, you know, I'm doing all the things to make sure this marriage works. It's not working. Marriage isn't working.
Yeah. It's not going to work. One date night is not going to save anything. And just she does what Ralph hates the most when she goes on a date night and then talks about all their problems. It's like this
she
is
does
the,
that
like
every
how many
single
times?
Time.
Which, by the way, Ralph is the asshole in this situation, and I'm glad that she brings his ass on camera to read him for filth, because he wants to just come on and pretend everything's perfect every time. He's like, if I get a strike, you gotta call me daddy, right? If I beat your score, then I beat your score, because he doesn't get the strike, of course. So then he changes the rules, as Ralph does constantly. So he's like, okay, well, now if I beat your score, then you have to call me daddy. What's your obsession with everybody around you calling you daddy? Aren't you already writing some fake book? Did that book ever get published that he has the giant poster of himself?
Oh, the step
that we
in
see
parenting?
Later, the step in parenting. Yeah, we see it. That his office, we see he has a big office at home with a giant blown up stand-up cardboard poster, like a Blockbuster video of himself.
Yes.
Of that fake ass book. that
let me go check the Kirkus reviews to see if let's see. I'm not seeing. Maybe Publishers Weekly has something about the step in parenting. Surely Machiko Kakutani at the New York Times has a review of this. No, I must have been overlooked by these outlets. But I'm sure the book has been released and is doing quite well.
I'm looking it up. The step in parenting. It has .com. So pre-order. Oh, pre-order today. Whoops. Left the family that I was writing this about. Kind of tried cashing in a little too late. Ralph, asshole. This guy's such an asshole. He's disturbing to even watch on the TV, I have to say.
A lot of, you know what? A lot of bad timing with some of the cast members on this show right now. Okay, with dealing with the family planning and capitalizing off of it or taking advantage of it. They're really just not quite getting it right.
You fired the free nanny, okay, in the scene before this, and then you write a whole book about being a step parent and then leave the family before it's published. Come on.
Okay, so I would like to say something. The step in parenting has not come out yet, but what has come out, it came out actually very recently, June 18th, 2023. Reflections, a collection of stories and manifestos from The Man in the Mirror by Ralph Pittman. So let me read. This is on Amazon. Ralph Pittman is a husband, father, actor, speaker, businessman, and entrepreneur. A native of New Brunswick, New Jersey, Pittman attended Rutgers University, where he graduated with a bachelor's degree in business economics while also studying music theory. And then it's just basically saying like,
that who cares about this? Let's read the reviews. Cause it's got one star.
There's two reviews. The first one says, printing malfunction. Either I got a bad copy or there's a printing malfunction that needs to be addressed. Once I got to page 5, I noticed the books are over from the beginning. If you look at the video, you'll see the same sentence over and over from beginning to end of the book. Oh my God, no.
And the next one, what's that?
That's the Amazon video, sorry. Oh. It's looking at proof that it's the same. Oh no, it's like a copy. Oh my God, I've never seen this before. Of course, Ralph's book.
No one even like tried
it's
to
just five it. Pages copy and paste it and print it out and sold.
No way, it's 5 pages.
It's some like her, this person's copy is first 5 pages and then it loops and loops till the end of the book.
Oh no. So the second review is, was this self-published? This was a terrible book. Weird that he would self-publish a book on being a great step-parent and then go and divorce the mother. Two people found this helpful. What a piece of shit this guy is. Okay, so back to it. We're on this fake date night, and he wants her to call him daddy. And he's like, babe, did you enjoy the holidays, babe? And she's like, yeah, you know, it was one of the best Christmases, honestly, truthfully, you know, because it was just like simple, honestly, to tell the truth, you know. I just have the most with family happening and the most, everything's going on right now. You know, I have a family, Steph Allison, for example, you know, she's constantly asking me for shirts with my name plastered all over them that she could wear in public. And, you know, then I've got my album that's just flying off the Spotify. And then, you know, I closed that movie deal today that is being paid for by a friend to keep her lame-ass husband happy. And, you know, helping Allison with that Airbnb mental health retreat that's not going to have a bar. So super busy life.
Yeah, it's just stuff has been happening. I mean, I gotta take a call from Ron Howard. Excuse me, Ron Howard. I'm at date night at Not Dave and Buster's. Thank you. Just, you know, a busy actress. So I'm realizing I need this mental health retreat as much as I thought as I was doing it for everyone else. In some ways, me like being in a small movie and releasing a song, that's almost as bad, if not worse, than everything that Allison went through. I kind of feel like maybe I'm the one who has the mental health challenges here.
I'm sorry, but I kept this window open. This Ralph Pittman, Reflections, the collection of stories. Can't just be a collection of stories. It has to be and manifestations. Mm. I've collected my manifestations into a book. I've collected mine as well. They're in a yellow bag called Peanut M&Ms. Okay, get over your fucking self. Okay, I closed it. I can't keep it. He's staring at himself in the mirror on the cover. He's just taking a selfie of himself in an iPhone portrait mode in a mirror and then selling the book. I can't.
So we're selling five. He manifested 300 pages out of 5 pages of content.
Okay. So she's telling us that Ralph had a problem with Dr. Ken because Dr. Ken started holding him accountable for his own behavior. And she's chosen to stay in counseling, guys, because she's like super serious about mental health. And surely she's been in counseling this whole time, because just because Ralph doesn't want to go doesn't mean she's not going to go, which, by the way, is a total lie. Because then we find out she has not been in therapy. She's just having another session right now for TV.
Hmm. So Drew doesn't want to put any pressure on Ralph. Which of course she's doing. And Ralph is like, you know, one of the things I feel with marriage counseling is just, you know, it's a difference in experience, I think. And like, sometimes you get to a certain point where you're like, you really need to focus on the work and you need to start applying it. And I feel like with counseling, it's like this topic and then this topic and then this topic and then this topic. But then it's like, but then that's going to like get us divorced. And like, I can say that I've had less blowups than I've had this last year. So like, congratulations, because like, instead of acting like an emotional terrorist, I'm only sort of acting like an emotional terrorist. So you should be happy with that.
And then we see clips. Dr. Ken called you a maniac. And he's like, you don't even know what maniac means. I tried to give her a steak and lobster that night. And that night, she deserved a Lunchable. Which is...
So then he goes,
as much of an asshole as he is. So then he's like, don't you agree? Because she's basically laughing at this guy, being like, oh, look, I'm already better just by myself.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have reflections. And he's like, I'm doing the work though. Okay. You have to measure in the frequency of making sure it can reduce the occurrences that they can actually happen. This is very intellectual what I'm saying right now.
It's like, you paused and rewound that 5 times too, didn't you? Because I did.
Oh, I got every word. I was like,
what? What did he just say? Hold on. Let me do a 30-second rewind. And I would listen again and be like, wait. No, what? And then I realized it had been 30 minutes. And I...
You have to measure it on the frequency of making sure it can reduce the occurrences that they actually happen. This is very intellectual, what I'm saying.
Wow, Ralph. It's extremely intellectual, Ralph. Thanks.
Yeah.
And Drew's like, yeah, well, I graduated early and don't really understand what you're saying. So listen, she's like, I can't force you, but I can still go to therapy by myself. But, you know, it is important for you to meet me halfway because I'm not single. And I also need support because I'm going to be doing this movie and it's going to take me away for 10 days. And that's going to take me away from the house and the kids. And he's like, okay, well, there's going to be a problem because got to be honest with you, because congrats on being booked and busy, but I've always been busy. This is nothing new for me. And I'm going to step up, no pun intended, as much as I can. But the bottom line is I make the money. So I'm not doing shit is basically what he's saying, which maybe if you had made so much money, you should have paid that new nanny you were trying to hire before you screwed her out of all the money she asked for the 2 days you actually used her.
Last time I checked, you guys have like 5 assistants and Allison and the mom who's always around. I think that someone can figure, like, I think we can figure out some daycare for 10 days with this family. So Drew's like
the step in parenting. I will not step in parent. For 10 days. That's literally it. That'll be $25 on Amazon.
He's literally refusing to step in. So Drew's like, I'm not going to lie. I think it's important for you. Oh, yeah, you just said this part. So he's like, well, I make the money. And Drew's like, okay, well, you see Todd, he has daddy daycare. And Ralph's like, I'm not daddy daycare, okay? He doesn't travel as much as me, okay? And as much as I'm going to be. I mean, 2023 is going to be a challenging year. Where are you traveling to? Because it better not be Tampa.
Yeah, it's like, do you know how many waves are going to be in Tampa this year? So the producer asks her, do you think anything happened between Ralph and the video producer when he traveled to Vegas? And she's like, No, it's just, you know, the fact that that could even cause a wedge, because now we're not on a solid foundation. And so he's like, listen, we're going to be a different level, all right? After all of this, I just said how I'm not going to support you. I'm not going to help take care of our child or be a help at all. I'm going to say now, listen, in the future, I want us to be Barack and Obama. And she goes, Barack and Obama? So you want to be Obama and Obama? Where's Michelle in this equation?
And he's like, oh, I'm drunk. And she's like, you just forgot you have a wife. Okay, I swear, you just forgot you have a wife. So now we go to Kenya's house and...
Oh, God, he's horrible. That man is terrible.
He did a good job. He made it almost through the entire season with the facade that he had changed. I mean, we all knew it was a facade, but he kept it up almost the entire season, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't make it the whole way.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we're at Kenya's house, and Candy shows up, and Kenya's like, I got shrimp salad. And she's talking about
kale, by the way, of course, because she's still pushing fucking kale me out. Or
kale me. Kale me kale crazy.
Me. Kale me
not,
crazy.
Not kale me, maybe. Kale me,
you've got kale
me
kale. Crazy.
You've got kale. Kale.
She's still trying to push this kale narrative on America. Okay.
Yeah. So, now at this point, what's his face? Mr. Kale Man isn't even bothering to show up. Roy, return on investment. He's like, nah, I'm just going to postmate this to you. I don't even want to show up. That driveway's too steep.
So yeah. She's like, at Brooklyn's new school, because Brooklyn is sitting with her in the diary room. She's like, at Brooklyn's new school, we have to have cloth napkins every day, right, Brooklyn? And she goes, where do I tell you to put your napkin? And Brooklyn's like, in my lap, but my teacher won't let me. Kenny's like, and I don't know why not, because that is where napkins go. And immediately, you just see that Kenya is that nightmare parent.
Yeah. So Shamia comes over. And which we haven't seen Jamie all season, and they're just like chatting, and then Kenya says that she's thinking about having another baby, and we see a split screen of Shamia being like, oh, and Candy being like, what? Like, her face just scowls. She's like, who's gonna be the daddy? And she's like, well, I still have frozen embryos, so Mark. And they're like,
and Candy's like, I'm a little bit concerned about this. And she's like, so he said you could use those? And she's like, well, when we sign the paperwork, it says only I can use them. Oh, one person can use them, and that's me. And Kenya's like, you know, there's so many things going that could go wrong at this point, so I would need to use a surrogate. And we find out that Shamia is using Shadina, who was Candy's surrogate for Blaze. And so now... Yeah. Shamia's using them, and now Kenya wants to use Shadina as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, Candy reassures Kenya that...
Word
like,
of mouth,
you know,
I'm telling you, the word of mouth and surrogacy, you can just work forever.
Yeah. Then Candy's talking about surrogacy and, like, how you still have the same amount of bonding, and you just have to prepare yourself that everyone's going to call you vain, everyone's going to assume that's because you don't want to, like, ruin your body, etc. And then Candy's like, so if Mark doesn't give you the blessing for this, are you going to do it anyway? And Shamia's like, I would proceed. It's like, Shamia, no, I feel like we're getting close to the end of the Mark storylines. I don't think we need any more entanglements from him in this show.
That's what's so weird about it. Why would Kenya even consider tying herself even further to this guy?
Yeah.
He's a monster. What the fuck, dude? Like...
Exactly. He's terrible. So then they're like, okay, let's gossip about people. So Shamia's asking if Sheree is still dating Martel. And then Kenya is like, well, I guess what I heard? I heard that Martel didn't even pay for Sheree's birthday dinner. And it was Marlo and Sonia who wound up paying for the meal.
Yikes. And then we see 4 days ago, Sonia telling Kenya, I mean, it was $1,500. And Kenya's like, oh, please, I spent $1,500 today. And Sonia's like, yeah, I mean, if that's your last $1,500, I don't care. You should still be paying the bill for your girlfriend's dinner. Like, what the hell?
Now, excuse me, because let me just put on this sweatshirt and bend over. And if there happens to be anything on the back of my sweatshirt that you happen to read, you know, go ahead there. You're not going to read it, huh? Okay, I'll wait for a group trip. Okay.
So Candy's like, well, I didn't even get invited. So, you know, the people that she did invite were all going in on her man. And Candy's like, yeah, he asked the ladies that were there to cash app him.
I'm sorry. I think that is horrible. Listen, Martel, you're on TV and you're like a real estate person or like a guru or whatever Martel calls me. You have to be able to pay like the front that. I'm sorry.
Agreed. But also, I can't believe Sheree allowed that. Sheree needs, and we know that Sheree doesn't like to pay. But like, that's her story. That's literally her storyline on this show. They call her Sheree Don't Pay. So, okay, I get it. But you make your friend, you invite your friends all to this birthday dinner, making them think you're inviting them to a dinner you're hosting, and then you make them pay? That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah. When you're not like 20. I think it's different when we're all like young and broke and we're like, hey, let's go to dinner and, you know, we'll all split the check at Chili's or whatever. But it's very different when you invite everybody to like a fine dining place or a really expensive place and your boyfriend, and then you make them pay for your birthday. No.
No, I mean, I think I think it's fairly standard that if you go out with a group of friends for your birthday, the friends all buy the birthday meal for you. I get that. But like, I kind of feel like I feel like Martel, though, I don't know, like I just think in the context of Martel as this like real estate person, he's already like a celebrity and all this. I think he should have paid for the whole thing.
I think in Real Housewives world, you don't want let your friends pay for your expensive birthday dinner. I think that's gross too. I think it's both on grossier parts. It's gross on both your parts. That's what I think. Don't invite me. Yeah. I would never be invited, but I would not pay. I'd be like, sorry, I don't have Cash App. Nope, don't have Venmo either. Oh, what's Zelle? Who's that? Someone's kid? No.
So now we go to Sheree. She's with her dog Gotti at the groomer. And Sheree is telling us, she's like, I've dealt with a lot of dogs in my life, but Gotti is number one in my life. And he likes to be cleaned. He's a great listener. Like Martel, Gotti is the ideal partner. Now listen, Sheree, Gotti seems like a lovely dog, but you're trying to sell me on Gotti, but you literally named him after like a crime boss. Okay. Like, I'm just saying, like, you're making it hard for me to trust your judgment on these men and these dogs.
I love Gotti. I think that's a badass dog. That dog has a lot of saliva. The dog is like,
that's why
it's just like not, pouring it's out, non-negotiable. Just pouring out saliva. No. So Martel calls while she's in this this groomer, and you can tell she's never been there. You know, she's like getting a free grooming, so she's shooting at this place to get something for free. And it cracks me up because she's obviously never been there, and she's just getting all the free stuff that she can. And she's trying to make it look like, look at me, just living the rich person's life, going to get my dog groomed while I'm talking to my fabulous husband, not knowing that the scene before was about how cheap her boyfriend is, right? So then Martel calls, and he's like, yeah, on the way to the airport, on the way, what's going on with you? Okay, gotta go, click. And the producer's like, so how was it for your birthday? And she goes, he got me an Alexander McQueen handbag, which I gotta tell you, I was shocked. I don't want to say this because I'm not going to keep it, but he doesn't believe in expensive high-end labels.
Yeah. The last bag he got me was Threshold by Target. So she's like, I see a future. You know, it's been about 6 months, and the status of our relationship is that we're enjoying life. It's fun. It's complicated. It's a lot of things. I'm like, well, I don't know if you... 6 months in, I feel like it shouldn't really be complicated. But then further evidence that she's never been to this place before, they ask her to sign up for their rewards program. And so she gives her email, which is like, beep, at AOL. And she's like, yeah, I still use it. And they're all laughing at her. But that is so Sheree that, of course, Sheree has an AOL email.
So then we go to the past table read. And it's awkward. There's clarinet music playing. So any kind of clarinet music on a Bravo show, you know it's going to be awkward. So here we are for Todd's big movie. And she's like, I just have so much going on, guys. You know, the script and the music. Hi, Candy. You know, just so much going on. God. My sister's wearing sweatshirts with my name, so that's been big. That's been a big thing. On this, pretty much, 10 days.
Yeah, they asked me to re-record the Amen theme song, so that might be weird for my sister, but I've been really working on that. You know,
I just did that so I could get free help from Dr. Gettings at the Amen Clinic. Not really even sure they have the rights to use the Amen theme song, but we're just going to go with it and keep our fingers crossed, or pray, if you will.
Turn on the light from heaven, Lord, shine on me. Sorry, I'm just getting my vocals ready. I've got a lot going on. By the way, if anyone had any doubts about whether or not Drew Sidora was an actress, this scene should prove to you that she is one, because this is like the thing in LA. If like actors and actresses, this is what they say when you talk to them. If they're not working, they were like, hey, I've got a lot going on. There's just like so much going on right now. Like I got like my classes. I just booked a gig in my bedroom to read some lines, to read some sides with a friend. It's just like so much is going on. I'm like, okay, Drew is definitely
soup spaz. So Drew's like, but Candy, you did get that text from my mental health retreat, right? And Candy is like, oh my God, booked and busy, right? High fives. They're just being totally fake to each other. I just have to stop and just point out, I think this is kind of a problem with Bravo in general lately. This is the second mental health retreat we're watching in a row on a show. The first one I can kind of let slide. The second one, we're not here to watch you guys get better. We're here to watch some mess. So I don't know what kind of modern bullshit this is where we're here to watch you guys all heal, but no, that's not what we're here for. So cut the shit out, okay?
Yeah.
It's a fucking mental health retreat with no alcohol. Get the fuck out of here. Are you guys even, is anybody at work anymore? Is anybody there? Who's turning on the lights over there?
Wait, are you saying that you're also not like fascinated by this thrilling content of watching them do a table read for The Pass, the first movie that's actually based on its experience going to studios? Pass.
Todd's finally named his experience in meetings at Candy's Garden.
It's a meta script. It's a script about what you're about to do with the script.
It's like Pass. Every review of Blaze. Okay, so Todd's like, I just want to welcome everybody to a table read. I've just been really insecure about it. You know, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? But then my wife's like, babe, just go and do it. But then I'm like, but should I? And then she hands me a sack of money. So I did it. You know, everything happens at the right time. And so let's make some magic.
And then Todd and Candy are in an interview together. And Todd's like, right now, my priority is already it's like the restaurant and then the movie. And Candy's like, really? Like, you're guilting me into all this bullshit and the movie's not even your priority? And he goes, well, it sounded good. Candy's like, Todd really needs this movie to happen for himself because, like, my career has been the priority. And he has been supportive of my career and the things that I've wanted to do. And Todd's career, well, Todd doesn't really have a career. Todd just sort of stands next to my career and just sort of basks in its glow. So we're going to do something for Todd.
Yeah, and she's saying it right in front of him because they're doing the confessional together. And she's like, yeah, it's been about my career, so this is for him. And he goes, don't tell me what I need to happen. She goes, you do need it to happen. He goes, yeah, I do. I guess it's just more of a passion thing. Yeah, because if it was more of a, like, actually you wanted to work thing, you would be taking screenwriting classes. You would be, like, writing and trying to sell this to other people and not depending on your wife to pay for it for you.
And so, hiring actors beyond the cast members of the reality show that you're on. I mean, like, right. Drew, that's fine. Drew is an actress, despite everything. Like, Drew has, she has a CV. Candy has done acting. But then we see there's, like, Shamia and Manietta are in this movie, too. Are we going to, like, get Shamari from a few seasons ago? Are we going to, like, pull up, like, I don't know, Brielle Bierman?
Deshaun Snow's there. They're like, okay, Deshaun, it's time for your line. She's just doesn't say anything. It's like, Deshaun, anything? Nope. Even scripted Deshaun gives nothing. It's crazy. So then we know that Drew is the real actress in the room because she's wearing a turban, guys. So it's Drew's for real, guys. She's wearing a Gloria Swanson turban. Wow. So we see the read, and they're like, kitchen, evening. Manetta, a lawyer, stands in a kitchen with papers that have words on them. Manetta says, "Would your client like to respond to this evidence?" And everyone's like, "Yes, that was a great, what a great film."
Interior, Baptiste home, Nina, evening. Nina pours a glass of water for Etta Franklin, her mother. She hands it to her. And then there's like a lady, there's a lady on Zoom who's like, "Where's the rich bum? Is he on one of the business trips?" And Drew's like, "Ma, don't start. He does pretty great consulting. I just hope I don't get so busy that I won't have time to grow a family." It's like, yes. Yes. Oscars.
Mom, I love the sweatshirt you are wearing with my name printed on it. Thank you for the support. Is that from Fendi? So they all applaud, and Todd's like, guys, I swear none of this has to do with my life. No one wants to think of you fucking Todd, okay? Candy or anybody else. Just no one cares, okay? Give them their $5 for the day and let them move on. Also, we know it has nothing to do with your life. It has to do with the movie that you ripped off for this fucking story in the first place.
But that being said, Todd has always been a very creative person, and he's always been like, he has always tried to get things going. And I have to applaud him that he finally realized he could just go to ChatGPT and ask it to write a script for him. And I think great, great resourcefulness, Todd.
So Drew's mental health retreat. Oh God, here we go. And we all have to wear white because this is about mental health. I don't really understand.
That didn't really make sense to me.
I was like, are we dying? Because that's like what happens when you go to heaven. You like get your white clothes. You know, I was like, are we going to die while we're meditating? What does this have to do with wearing white?
Are we recreating Linda Hamilton's experience in Terminator 2? Like, why are we dressed like this? So we're at this retreat, and there's like green juice shots and everything, and people are arriving. I have to say, I'm very happy that the arrivals did not take 16 minutes of time like they did last week. I complained about this on Crappy Hour, but last episode when Candy had her latest bedroom candy party, it was literally 15 real-time minutes of people walking into the party. I timed it. It started at 34 minutes after, and the show did not start to move forward until 46 or 47 moments after, and there were like 30-second instances where people talked about anything, and everything else was montage-y, jokes, taking photos, people walking in. And I'm only repeating this because I just feel
I'm glad they didn't add it in this time so you could add it in.
Well, I'm adding it in. I'm adding it in because people need to know why.
We finally get a break from this shit, and you made me just relive it all again.
Well, because I think that, like, I don't know. I like to think that someone from Bravo listens to this podcast, and you have to know, person at Bravo, this is bullshit, and this is why the show is faltering, okay? So thank you for giving us only a 2-minute like entrances thing for this mental health.
Well, I'll tell you, I will focus on this because one thing I really have to give Drew credit for is she's really dedicated to that fanny pack. She has been making this fanny pack happen all episode. She's in love with it. So good for you, because I'm still thinking about it. Stuck with me.
Oh, I didn't see it.
This is very healthy. They've got green juice. They've got meditation. They're going to do a drop it with Drew. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. So now we're going to make your sister's mental health breakdown about selling more of your diet plans. It doesn't work. Great. So the ladies all start to arrive. And I love when Candy comes up. They're like, green shot? She goes, no, thanks.
Yeah, she's not about that. But we have everyone shows up, and significantly, Ralph comes up. Ralph is not there when it starts, so Ralph shows up sort of a little bit later, and he comes up, and he just goes and greets everyone, every single person except for Drew. And at one point, Drew goes over to Ralph, and he kind of like pivots away, and she gets like intercepted by like Keith or something. But he is just fully ignoring her. And she's like, hello, your wife, hello.
And she says, after date night, Ralph has been distant. Yeah, because he was trying to pretend he's perfect and you were calling him out on everything. Duh, you're supposed to pretend he's perfect or he gets furious with you and acts out. Are you new to this? Because I've only known you now on this show for 2 years, and I know you're married to a piece of shit, so run.
Yeah. So she's like, this is typical Ralph when he feels disrespected. Instead of speaking his mind and saying how he feels, he just acts so cold. I was like, yeah, leave him. This is not good.
So then Drew's like, okay, everybody, welcome. Dr. K has been helping my sister and her journey because, you know, my sister has some mental mishaps. And then Allison's like, love it. That's a new word, mishap. So here's my story. And I was like, what? Why are you having a retreat based on your sister's mental health? This is a weird party. And I've sat through a lot of Bravo weird parties. I like it.
I have no issues with it, to be honest. So Allison says, she's like, well, you know, she talks about how she started having panic attacks and anxiety attacks, and that she was calling like 911 so much that they basically just put her in a psychiatric hospital where she was there for 19 days. And she says that this was like a gift and it saved her life. And this stuff really does work. So everyone like applauds. And Drew is like, yes, working for Drew Sidora did save her life. And I want to thank you, Allison, for giving me the gift of knowing that I saved your life. Anyway, if anyone would like to come work for me or just be around me or just want to hear how I get through my life, let me share my gift with you.
She's like, yeah, you know, this is very important. Thank you all for coming to celebrate my sister's mental health. Let's do a Drop It with Drew TM class. Okay, let's all go outside and do that. Just gives me the ick, this whole thing. So then Marlo comes in and she's like, drop it with Drew. I dropped it with Drew once and it was a disaster. Let me see if that website's working. Oh, whoops, 404 not found.
I went onto the website last night. It's back up, but it looked like it was made in 1996, which is hilarious because Ralph works in quote unquote tech, nebulously in tech. And it's like all basic HTML. And you just sort of scroll down through this HTML. And then at the very bottom, it's like your cart, $152. It's like, oh, of course it's like basic HTML, but they're going to definitely charge me money. Like before you go any further in this site, you have to pay $152.
Where did you even see Drop It with Drew? It's not even coming up in search.
It doesn't come up on SEO, which is hilarious. You have to do dropitwithdrew.com. I went to it. Oh, it's not even coming up anymore. I had to go Drop It with Drew.
I can't. It doesn't come up.
If you go to the 21-day, if you go at Instagram, 21-day Drop It with Drew, and there's like this tiny Instagram that has like 5 followers. 508 followers, okay. Then Drop It with Drew.
But it's .com. Get It Off with Garza Club. Is that,
Get It Off with Garza Club.
Yes, you put in that web address, but then it redirects you. It's a redirect to something called Get It Off with Garza.club. So she's like an affiliate of something else that she's calling Drop It with Drew.
And it's literally like a high school website project. I'm surprised the JPEGs don't come in like line by line. And yeah, this
looks, oh Lord. Okay.
It's terrible.
So she's still trying to sell you this. So let me go back to my notes. Okay. So next is the meditation studio. So now the men have their separate thing. The women are separated from the men. And
the men don't even have like a separate thing. The men just have to stand outside and just like talk. They're just like hanging around, just waiting for the women for the rest of the episode.
And so the women go in and they have to take off their shoes. And Marlo's like, well, I don't even have socks. Like, why would I do that? And they're like, I want you guys just be quiet. Be in a search. Search yourself really deep. Think about something the world hasn't given you yet that would make you feel complete. And Sheree's like, I'm very surprised by this mental health event. Looks very nice. That was my healing trip. So she was so inspired by me. Good job, Sheree. Good job, Sheree.
I'm sure I'm taking credit. So Sheree is taking credit for Drew, taking credit for Allison's mental health journey.
By the way, can I also say I've never heard of a meditation where they're saying, let's concentrate on something you haven't received from the world. What the fuck kind of meditation is this? Meditation, you're supposed to concentrate on what you have and be grateful for it. Yeah. What am I missing with this episode? I'm missing a lot. I get it. Go ahead. Take it on. I'll unscrunch my face.
It does make you kind of pine for the days of just watching people walk into a bedroom candy party. So Ralph Ralph is outside. He's talking. He's like, yo, I know we're here for the brain, but like there's a pool down there. And then someone named Kiana shows up. It's sort of random. It's like this woman shows up and she's like, you look nice, Ralph. You look like you're working. And it's just like a brief moment. But I was wondering if that was an allusion to like perhaps a lady that Ralph has on the side, or maybe we're going to like remember her.
It was a skanky moment where he's like, hey, you look good. And she goes, you look good also. Looks like you're working. Like kind of in like a you're hot. And then they laugh. It's a gross moment. I don't know if
it's going to be like
come
a
out
thing
about this later or what. But
I feel like it's going to be a flashback. I feel like it's going to be a thing that like, remember that girl Kiana? And we'll see a flashback to like the meditation. And then we see Kiana coming in. I feel like they're laying the groundwork for a scandal.
Yeah. So back to meditation. Candy was crying in the meditation and she's like, I really needed this because my blood pressure is high. My group is falling apart. I have friends saying I'm not there for them. We're doing this movie. Like, I just need some moose-off moments.
And while Candy's going through that, Ross is asking Ralph outside how his lawsuit's going. And Ralph's like, you know, it's one of those situations where like someone comes and like, it's like somebody goes and like decides that they want to like try to sue you and like exploit you just because they feel like they can't. And then Heath is there and he's like, yo, you got to be careful who you let into your house, dude. It seems like y'all be catching hell with these assistants, bro. And it's like, Heath, Heath going strong with the black scent still. And I was like, he's going strong with the black scent, but maybe he's not white. I was like, maybe I'm being the one who's
did
ignorant.
You do that too? I googled it too.
I was like, before I start, I don't want to turn around that now I'm being the one, you know, accusing a person of color of having black scent, which is ridiculous. So I was like, wait a second, let me double check. But I did some research and it looks like Heath is fully white.
No, I did. That's funny. I googled it too because I was going off about it last week or the week, whenever the last time we did this was. And I was like, you know, maybe I should like fact check myself. So I googled
it. You know what, though? It doesn't bother Manetta. So you know what? Live and let live, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's awkward. So then they have a lunch. Okay. So Drew is like, you know, guys, thank you so much for coming to my mental health day. Because, you know, specifically, you know, Portugal, when we had that mental health time, you know, I showed a moment of vulnerability. And, you know, you guys said I wasn't feeling, you guys made me feel uncomfortable to open up. And that's why I ran. It's like, oh, God. So now you're using this. Okay, so you're using your sister's mental health to sell Drop It with Drew, but then also as a weapon against Sheree and anybody who had to say anything against you in Portugal. Well, you are so full of shit, lady.
Well, and also to, like, continue to try to elevate her, like, attempt to have, like, a scene in Portugal into, like, a moment of vulnerability when she walked out of a restaurant because she was emotional about being sued for $1,000. So,
for not paying somebody being vulnerable after they worked for you.
When your sister is here, and is on national television saying that she spent 90 days in a psych ward because she was having breakdowns, and knowing that there's so much stigma attached to saying that, and you're saying, I had a moment of vulnerability, and your sister is here being the truly vulnerable person. Like, fuck off, Drew. So Sheree
is so good with this. She goes, yeah, you know, I just didn't understand what was going on. And you explained you were having a difficult time. And I know that recently you went to court. How did that go?
Hilarious,
because Sheree does not let her get away with this bullshit for 1 second. She's like, okay, so let's bring up the reason you were crying. You went to court recently. So then the drama music starts, and Sheree's like, how'd that go? And Marlo's like, did you win?
Was Judge Judy nice to you? And so we see 2 days ago, Drew was at the courthouse, like having like a press conference with like probably an assistant holding a tape recorder. And they're like, what do you feel would be the proper justice for you? And she's like, honestly, for just her to go away, to get this thrown out. But I think countersuing is a strong statement. So she just wants to countersue for this $1,000.
She's ridiculous. Also, they're dressed to the nines, okay? They're dressed like they're in a national murder trial, okay? And there's one photographer. You know it's one of their assistants that's there. And the camera crew from Atlanta. And they're acting like this is the biggest trial. It's like the trial of the century. Drew not paying a nanny. So, I mean, come on. And also, someone pointed out, I was reading online, someone pointed out that in the argument where they were confronting her for the first time about this $1,000, Andrew is like, well, it's legal issues that my lawyer is taking care of. That's why I have a lawyer to take care of this stuff, and I can't talk about it. It's a legal case. And then they showed a clip of her in the after show, which I don't watch, but in the after show, she was saying, yeah, well, I represented myself, so I can't be too stupid, can I? It's like, oh God, you can't even keep your lives straight for two seconds, man. She's like compulsive.
So, Cynthia's there, by the way. Cynthia's back. Cynthia's making a huge impression. She's like, so what happened? I missed this. I didn't see this in any news outlet because it was that insignificant. And Drew is like, well, this girl wanted the opportunity to see if we'd hire her as a chef. And so she brought over pans of food, and there was hair in the food. There was like weave hair. And like, oh. And then we hear Ralph continuing the story to the guys. He goes, so she was like, what other opportunities do you have? And we're like, hey, we got an opportunity with like a nanny. Wait, what? If this person is failing the first test, why do you then give a test? Like, you don't seem to be a very good cook, but let's put you closer to our children. You seem like an unreliable employee.
They're both just fucking liars. And we know
they're liars.
We see the receipt, okay? Or we see what they're being sued for. So then Drew continues, we did another interview and she walked in the house and she got a plate. I mean, she wasn't really even interacting with the kids. And Ralph's like, yeah, it didn't work out. We were like, sorry, whatever. And then she sent us an invoice for $1,000 and we're like, what? Andrew's like, yeah, and she kept pursuing it. And then a year later, a sheriff shows up at my door with a warrant, and she had upped it to $10,000. And they're like, Courtney's like, wait a minute, from $1,000 to $10,000? She goes, yes, but thank you, Sheree. Thank you for asking. I really do appreciate you asking for the whole truth. So then let's just go over these lies that Drew just told everybody. So they put the invoice on the screen. Exhibit B, Sidora/Pittman. Did you read this, Ben? Did you look what was
You know
on
what?
This?
I think I may have forgotten. I forgot to really invest myself in this. But tell me what was on the receipt.
These two are full of shit. Okay, first of all, this is the first time that we've heard this whole story. Before, they were making it sound like she was a chef. They gave her a trial meal, and then they fired her because there was hair in the food, which is still bad because if someone's spending $1,000 on groceries for a massive meal, you see this stuff happen on like food competition shows, right? And they're not going to pay any of it. That's still shitty, right? So then we see this bill. So nanny, $100 per child per day, rate $300, quantity two. So two, $600. Okay, so that's nannying. So that's 2 days, three children, right? Okay, so if she was so bad, why were you using her for 2 days? And why were there three? How many children does she have? Does she have three children? No.
I think she has two. I'm not sure.
Unless maybe she counted Ralph. So then maid service, doing laundry and assisting with other cleaning duties. That's $50 for 2 days. So that came to $100. So this is 2 days of childcare and 2 days of maid services, which, by the way, maid service for $50 is cheap. And that's $700, okay? So the food part, the chef services, I shopped, cooked, and delivered hot food to feed eight people. So they fed eight people for $300, which is also pretty cheap. And you're not going to pay this lady for nannying your children for 2 days and feeding eight people? Fuck off. You can't do that.
And you can tell that this is not someone who's trying to like exploit the situation because she's only suing for $1,000. Like, I'm sorry.
Yes, and it's like
she's just saying
rates.
This is what I paid for, you know. They probably would say these are all lies. But also, by the way, Drew said that the cooking test was that she brought in pans of food and those hair and the food. What sort of cooking interview is that? Like, you have them cook in your kitchen. The whole thing just smells off. I am team whoever this person is.
Yeah,
like, Drew and
too.
Ralph are totally, they totally owe $1,000.
Yeah, me too. So Candy's like, wait a minute, I thought it was 1,000. Now it's 10. And Candy's like, yeah, these stories are changing up. And Candy's like, okay, let's talk about the new year. Sheree, you had a dinner. I saw it posted on social media.
Yeah. And Sheree's like, oh, yeah, I had some of my girlfriends that I've known for over 30 years. You know, Marlo came, Courtney was there, Sonny was there. The lady who interviewed with Drew and Ralph, she came also. Known her for about 35 years.
We actually invited the hostess of the restaurant to sit with us because she was just so sweet. You know, it's only people I'm super, super close to.
Yeah. Long-time friendships. So Candy's like...
Literally
so,
none of those people she just named she's known for 30 years.
None of them. Candy's like, so did Sheree say she was inviting people she's known for 30 years for dinner, but then like Courtney, Marlo, and Sonia get invited, but I don't get invited? So you've known these bitches longer than you've known me? And Candy's basically like sensing, she's continuing to sense as she has whole season that like no one wants to hang out with her anymore.
Right. They're trying to like basically kick her out of the group. But also Candy's never there. So... Candy's like, you know, Sheree said, well, you know, you weren't going to come anyway. And she's like, but I was home. I would have come, actually. And Cynthia's like, so you're just saying that you wanted an opportunity to say no, at least. yeah. And Cynthia's like, it was just a small dinner and it was at Nobu. And that's one of my favorite restaurants. So when I see Nobu, I say, yes, boo. I'm like, well, glad we got Cynthia back. How'd they let that one get away?
When I see Nobu, I say, you're all hired. I'll give you rooms in my basement. It's Tether DeBrow inserting herself. So then everyone just assumed Candy was busy. But, you know, Sheree does apologize for that. And then Cynthia says, by the way, I do hear that your group is kind of split these days, which is funny. It's funny that they're trying to push a narrative that this group is split because to me, I'm having trouble tracking the feuds this season, and I'm having trouble feeling like there's one side versus another. I feel like everyone's just sort of generally sniping at each other. So Candy says, oh yeah, well, Manietta told us like not too long ago that like basically Sheree, Marlo, and Sonia and Courtney are in an alliance. And Manietta's like, yeah, what was the word I used? Collusion. Remember I used collusion? I'm basically a cast member now at this point. Yeah.
This is what they've been doing all season, where they just keep passing the fighting stick. They're like, okay, let's fight about the Drew lawsuit. And Drew's like, no, I'm not going to fight about it. I'm just going to say everything's fine. And thank you for asking. Sheree, what about your birthday party that you didn't invite? And Sheree's like, I'm not going to fight about that. I'm very sorry that I didn't invite everybody to your party. So what about the Monietta saying that people colluded? And everyone's like... I mean, it's just like passing these boring fights that nobody wants to fight about. Nobody's even into this. They're all just fucking bored.
They are.
And so just bring down the lights at this point.
Let's give it 18 months off. Let's revamp.
Down the lights slowly. Fade.
Let's just watch the pass, okay? So Manietta, she's like, yeah, well, Drew, your cousin Courtney called you a bitch. And because we see the grainy footage from the vacation where they were talking in a room, and that entire scene, I still didn't fully understand what that scene was about. They were just like talking. And so Courtney's like, I called who a bitch? Do you remember that? I didn't call anyone a bitch. And of course she's denying it. And we see the flashback. And this is what she says to the group. She says in the grainy footage,
This bitch even questioned me.
Which is, I'm sorry, saying this bitch even questioned me is not the same as calling someone a bitch. I'm just saying that right now.
No, it's not. And they did a ding arrow pointing to Sonia, saying like, this bitch even questioned me about it. Like, it looked like she was saying this bitch, referring to Sonia as her friend saying it. Because they had a ding arrow pointing to Sonia. So it was
either way,
Sonia. Whatever.
Either
it's
way,
stupid. It's a
big
stupid fight.
Yeah, a climactic fight in an episode should not be based off of whether a friend of casually used the word bitch in grainy footage that happened after production put their cameras down. This shows the desperation to find something.
And Courtney's like, well, I definitely didn't say that. And we've had hiccups, but I would never call anyone at this table a bitch. And Candy's like, there is a divide. Even the cousin is divided right now. And she laughs. And so now they just get up to leave. And Courtney goes over to Drew. And she's like, Drew, I never called you a bitch. I don't even use the word bitch. And Moneta goes, okay. She goes, bitch, I didn't. And she said, you just used the word bitch. She goes, For the first time, I did.
So then they go outside. And the whole group is outside now. They're like, so Simon's like, oh, guys. Group photo, guys. Like, okay. So Sonia gets in front, and Ross takes the photo, I think, or someone takes the photo, and Sonia undoes her jacket, and she opens up her jacket, revealing a t-shirt that says, I'm pregnant. But of course, no one sees it because they're all behind her. So then she's like, okay, everyone, I'm going to send the photos. I'm sending the photos. Okay, everyone, okay, I just airdropped the photo to everyone. Okay, make sure you like the photo. Zoom in if you like just to make sure. Zoom in on your face or any other person's t-shirt.
Didn't she post it on Instagram? Wasn't that their thing where they're like, why does she have to make every single thing a social media moment?
You know? Well, I don't know if she posted it on Instagram. Well, I think it's like whether or not it was posted on Instagram, it was like clearly she couldn't just tell them like, guys, great news, I'm pregnant. She had to make it into an event, a stunt, a surprise for the third time this episode. And I was like, and the fact that like no one was looking, like half the people probably didn't even look at the photo. And then finally she has to kind of like tell someone, she has to tell Allison, like, so Allison, did you look at your face? Did you look at my t-shirt? Did you see my t-shirt in your face? Mainly my t-shirt. Allison, anything at all? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, to center yourself in someone else's event. Like, she's like, all right, everybody, group photo. She gets in the center and like announces her pregnancy. My God. You know, then we get to hear everybody. You know, everyone's happy because like who's going to say, oh my God. Fuck her. She's having a baby. So everyone's like psyched that she's having a baby. And Kenya's like, oh my God, I'm getting baby fever now. Can't wait to have a little Mark running around. So then Drew is now at home, right? Okay, so now she has a session, another mental health session, but this one's just for herself with Dr. Ken.
Dr. Ken.
Yes.
Psychiatrist of the year or psychologist. So Ken is like, Drew says that Ralph has moved out of the bedroom and things have been downhill ever since date night, which is like, honestly, get the fuck over it, Ralph. And Dr. Ken is like, I was thinking, you've been in counseling with me for 13, 14 months, and a lot of times people back out of counseling. It's almost like canceling now that I say it. And Drew is like, well, Ralph and I have been married for 8 years, and in hindsight, we have been dealing with issues of transparency and faithfulness and of respect. Like, in hindsight, that was, like, literally, like, foresight and present sight and, like, very visual all around you. It's not hindsight.
It was like bowling night sight, you know?
it's like
really, literally like just happened.
Billboard sight. Like, yeah. Everywhere sights.
So he's like, so how are things with Ralph? You guys went on a date. Have you guys started having date nights? I'm like, so she's not even going to therapy. This is just all a lie, as usual. It's only for the cameras. It's only when he's there that she acts like she's going to therapy. And she's like, yeah, and we did go on a date night, but then it spiraled into a disagreement, you know? And I'm stronger now, and I'm willing to draw lines of boundaries. And he's like, well, now you're saying no one can gaslight me. You woke up. You will not be tumble dry. Those days are gone. Where does that leave your marriage now that you're being tumble dried? Now that you're being hang dried instead of tumble dried? Is anybody using fabric softeners in the marriage relationship of this seems example? Like it's like,
seems like you're entering a very delicate cycle right now. So Drew is like, well, the emotional awareness. Have
you pre-soaked this issue enough?
The emotional awareness is lacking for Ralph. And I want him to care about me and my heart and the movies and television shows and songs that I'm doing. And he's like, and is that your way of saying you believe your husband doesn't care about how you feel? Yes, I mean, I literally kind of just said that, Dr. Ken. Please keep up. I didn't get married to get divorced, okay? I got married so I could be on a TV show. So I'm always willing to try. But at what point are things going to turn around? I'm still in counseling. But he's not. Am I right?
Yeah. And he's like, when is enough enough? Pretty soon. pretty quick, actually. Next time, Drew is like, the best decision I made was to do this movie.
Yeah, they're going to have a fight over her doing a lesbian scene. And then I guess Ralph didn't know about it. And he actually wanted to know about it because he wanted to witness that. And I don't know. So anyway, the season trundles along, limping to the finish line. But still, you know, still doing its thing.
So it's anyway, still on thanks. TV. So everybody, TV. Thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you guys next time. Join us Monday, August 21st for our next Crappy Hour, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on Instagram Live at Watch What Crappens. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.